All right, what's good? Welcome back to the Pop-Off Podcast, a conversation show about all the biggest things in sports. My name is Ralph Compiano. I'm your host. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Mike Cerrone, and we're joined tonight by Nick Bornero and Adam Kapsch. Adam Kapsch, you have two new quarterbacks in Pittsburgh now. As a Steelers fan, you have Russell Wilson and you have Justin Fields. Just lay it on me, man. You know, no more Pickett. The Roethlisberger era has been over for a bit. No more Trubisky. No more Mason Rudolph. How are you feeling about the light-skinned gentlemen that are going to be playing under Mike Tomlin this year? Is this exciting for you? Like, was the Fields news like a dick throbber? Where's your head at as a Steelers fan?
Yeah, as soon as we went in and got Russ, I knew that this was just going to be a new guard completely. This isn't something like the Steelers aren't going to invest a first-round draft pick in a quarterback and then go out and pick up a veteran and everything's just going to be kosher, right? Like, as soon as that happened, I knew this shit was flipping, especially after the Patrick Queen signing. Like, there was kind of some big blockbuster names. Sorry, Cerrone, I had to let you know about that one again. But
Cerrone got Derrick Henry. He can take it easy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a consolation prize. I'll take Derrick Henry.
I'm pumped to watch those two meet in the A-gap twice a year. I'll say that right now.
I forgot you were a Steelers fan, bro. We should watch the games over FaceTime or something.
I'd be more than happy to. I just get really, really quiet.
But do you really think Fields, or who do you think is going to start?
Fields, from a raw talent standpoint, right, Fields is just a significant upgrade over Kenny, which already would make him the best quarterback on our team. His biggest issue when he was in Chicago was not only lack of talent around him in his first year, but then second year, it was just a consistent switch up and a change when it came to like the coaching and a lot of the front office personnel and executives that were actually giving him guidance. And now you're putting him in a situation where you can say, hey, take a step back, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to get into a brand new scheme. You're not going to get thrown into the fire right away. We're going to have Russ kind of take that and be the sacrificial lamb to not only be a mentor for you as you grow, but then to also give you an opportunity to get more time to learn this playbook and potentially be the future of the organization. The Pittsburgh Steelers haven't had a black quarterback since Cordell Stewart. So for me personally, this is huge, right? Like, this is, you know, the first time
before a black quarterback.
I remember that's gotta being be a record. Little kid. Yeah, being a little kid, it was the Tommy Maddox, Cordell Stewart era. Mm-hmm. And I remember any time I saw a black person, I would ask them, are you Cordell Stewart? When you're in Iowa, there wasn't a ton of black people, dude, except like for some of my family. And they were some of that 6% within the state of Iowa. And so I think it's great that we're giving Pittsburgh not one, but two light-skinned kings, right? But then at the same time, dude, the defense is starting to look so nasty again at the linebacker position. Mm-hmm. I'm just excited to see, with this being like a run first oriented team, we solidified that last year when they chose to bring in Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator. Obviously, you're going to be investing in the O-line come draft day. And then getting rid of Deontay Johnson as well. Like, all signs are pointing towards just a ground and pound offense that's going to have to run through Pickens and Freiermuth as the key weapons on the outside. We'll see who else they want to add. I know they got Van Jefferson in there, but he's a deep ball threat at best.
And on the Fields note, like, I've watched, I'd say 95% of the snaps that he's taken as a pro. I can tell you right now that you are getting somebody who he makes the really difficult plays look easy, like throwing like really tight windows when it has to be like made. Even against Pittsburgh, I think that was like the first game that he had was his rookie year where I was like, okay, this kid's got it. And then obviously he's one of the two or three best scramblers in the league. But at the same time, he makes the really easy throws sometimes look hard. And so I love him. He's like still going to be one of my favorite players to watch. But I think the Arthur Smith point is huge because he hasn't had, you know, consistent play caller. He had Luke Getsy. He had just this whole mess of different guys that were really running the system, Nagy, all of that kind of stuff. But if there can't be a bigger culture change from like the inconsistency in Chicago to the consistency in Pittsburgh. I mean, Tomlin's never had a season below 500. He's going into a locker room with like a Cam Hayward, a Watt, even like Joey Porter, like Jr., like guys like that can bring him in and be like, hey, we believe in you. And I think he started to get that a little bit more in Chicago his last couple of months with DJ Moore and guys like that, Montez Sweat. But there's just something about specifically, like, I think them, the Ravens, the Patriots used to be this way, the Chiefs are this way now, where there's just a standard that you have to uphold. And I think that he'll be able to meet that for you guys. It is. They're a great organization. I'm honestly happy for him because I was going to root for him wherever he went. And I'm just excited to see him ball out there.
Yeah. I think to your point too, Ralph, watching Fields play quarterback, he's like the Jordan Spieth of quarterbacks. He makes the really hard things look easy. He makes the really easy things look difficult.
Right.
I think that's something. Yeah. I mean, that's just, you're going to have some days better than others. Right. But I mean, that Big Ben would go out and have like Jameis Winston numbers half the time, where he'd be throwing 5 touchdowns with like 2 or 3 interceptions, but it didn't matter because, you know, we had 52 points and, you know, they had 38 or whatever. That was like the trend when we had AB and Lev Bell.
Yeah.
And then this narrative completely flipped after Big Ben like had his elbow injury. That was like the beginning of the end for the Steelers on offense. And ever since then, we've been like, where's the spark? Where's the flare? And not only did they get rid of a quote unquote locker room cancer within Deontay, but then they invested in 2 former first round quarterbacks. I mean, well,
you guys
I don't care what it is.
From an outside perspective, you guys are kind of like one of the most unlikable teams for me right now. I mean,
easily.
Arthur Smith was.
We have been our entire franchise last
year. Everybody hated Russ last year, but I think this is making people come around to both those guys a little bit. You know,
I mean,
I hated Let's Ride Russ Smith. You know, he might have a new stick in Pittsburgh. He might have. Let's steal this
one. I don't really know.
Steal and a dub, Yinzers.
I'll defend Russ. Like, he's the corniest dude ever. Long? Don't get me wrong.
How long are you gonna put up with it?
For 1 year. That like that's for his contract. Like that. And I'll say this too. Russ has been one of those guys that like it can't be easy to step in and father future's children. You know what I mean? Like you gotta have some
video today.
I mean, like, fellas, you know. Imagine that trying to step in and fill those shoes.
Kids probably give him so much back talk.
Yeah. I mean,
the kid's name is literally Baby Future. Every time he looks at that kid, he has to call them Baby Future. He says it in press conferences. And I was texting my dad about it today. He's like, damn, Russ is on the Steelers and Fields is there too. I'm like, yeah, Dad, Fields is from Atlanta and he's definitely a Future fan. He said it in multiple interviews that like his favorite rapper is Future. So I don't think he's going to be prevented from listening to his favorite rapper when he's working out, which is going to be hysterical. But it's also like, I mean, there is like a world where Fields is kind of Wilson-ish, like, you know, the early days of him when he was scrambling around, improvising, making plays. So I think he can learn from him. But all right, Cerrone, who would you rather see start against the Ravens? You guys play week 7, week 8, whatever it is. Who would you rather play against? Would you rather play against Fields or would you rather play against Russ?
Fields. I'm trying to go at this to just not be like, and just not to be too mean. No, dude, it's a huge signing. It breeds like excitement. You're getting a better quarterback, whether it's Wilson or Fields, but Fields, dude, you've watched him play. Ralph, you've watched him, you know, you said 95% of the snaps. I don't know if he's had, 3 years to prove his position to be the starting quarterback for the Bears. And for 3 years, he's held the ball too long and gotten sacked. I just don't know. Now, yes, you could turn the page, you could turn the tide, you could get things going. It's a new environment, new play calling, new this, new that. Which very well could be. It's huge for the Steelers overall. I think it's going to be awesome to be AFC North is going to be the most competitive division once again, which is going to be crazy because this year we forgot about Joe Cool and the Bengals, and he'll be back, and the Browns looking pretty good. I just don't know. You know, I think I'm friends with a lot of Steelers fans because I'm a Ravens fan, and you would have thought the Steelers just signed Tom Brady in his prime. You would have thought the Steelers just time traveled and got Joe Montana to where I just don't know if it's going to pan out to where, I mean, we'll see, definitely improvement. They already made the playoffs last year with nobody. And I think as the AFC North goes, or at least the Ravens and Steelers are going to be a playoff team no matter what, because their defense, it's yep. almost like the Ravens. They're going to be there because their defense. So I'm definitely a little bit more scared for sure. It's going to be great games. It's going to be more exciting. I'm just very curious to see. I don't really know why this would make him an all-star or make him like it just this unbelievable quarterback out of nowhere, you know, coming from, you know, the Bears weren't, I mean, yeah, they were pretty bad, but like there was opportunities for him to stand out and get the starting job.
He had games where he just blew up. Like the Washington game on Thursday night, he looked fucking miraculous. And it would be the most Bears thing for us to trade a guy and then he just goes and blows up somewhere else. That's just like the most Bears thing that could possibly happen. Yeah. Like, it's kind of like Lamar, where it's like he has like we talk about like things that you can coach and things that you can't coach, right? Like you can't coach that speed. Like that's just something that he's blessed with. He has it. But I also don't know if you can coach him into being like, all right, I'm making the throw on like my second drop, like the second step that I take in my drop back. Can I make that? I thought that that was going to be coachable. It turns out it wasn't for him. So maybe he doesn't have that like part of his brain unlocked yet.
Yeah. I think
Fields is that he looks huge. Like this. He's got frog eyes like me where he's looking both ways at once.
Fields.
Like, yeah, you think that help a QB where you're looking both ways at the same time?
First couple games will be huge for Fields, like momentum, like his attitude, like his getting his confidence back. I'd watch Bears games, dude, and I would see Fields, and he would look like scared out there, like almost like he would look like terrified. It was like he was almost like, and he was never, there's never a smile, there's never fire. Like I want to see, Lamar doesn't do it a lot, or kind of, but you want your quarterback to be like. Like, you know, Brady used to stomp down the sideline at the very end, used to throw his fist and say, let's fucking go. You want some fire. You want some like leadership out of him. And it was never there like in Chicago, but maybe I think the first couple games would be huge to get like his confidence back, momentum. And yeah, I think now the Russ signing, cause I was, you know, just making fun of Russ the whole time. Cause again, Connor, you guys signed Russ and I was like, dude, what? Like you were, again, you thought I was like a superstar, but I think him to like mentor him, to coach him. Yeah, we can clown Russ, but he's got a ring. He's been to the Super Bowl. He should have two rings. You know,
maybe at his best year in like 5 years last year. Like, Lordy, like I trashed Russ all the time and you were defending him. You're like, you know what? He's got 3,000 yards or whatever. He's got like 30 touchdowns.
Denver had a little run going there when they, I think they won like 6-7 straight.
You watch those Denver games though, and it doesn't jump out on film. Like a lot of it's, no joke, probably half that was jump balls to Sutton, especially the touchdown passes.
Such
Fields,
no,
I've spent like 3 years hating on Fields, so obviously it's not my time to defend him. Let's just run through real quick Fields' career in Chicago. Rookie year, he makes his first start. Who was starting over him? Troop still?
Andy Dalton.
They started Andy Dalton over him. Dalton? As a first-round pick. And then who was his first start against?
I can't remember.
One of the top defenses. I'm stealing this bit from a tweet, so they didn't say which team it was, just one of the best defenses. So that's his first year, his rookie year. Obviously, they can't protect him. Second year, they give him literally the worst roster an NFL team has maybe ever had.
Correct.
He had nobody to throw to, nobody to block for him, nobody to run the ball, no defense.
Correct.
So then we get to this year, and they're like, all right, bud, it's all on you. Go win the Super Bowl. Like, go from being the worst team, go win the Super Bowl. Otherwise, you're fucked. And I think just the pressure of a lot of it kind of. Yeah, they got him DJ Moore, but it still wasn't like a winning roster by any means.
Mm-mm.
But props to them this year. They got the first pick, probably in line to take Caleb. So I think things are looking up for the Bears and the Steelers.
I agree. The Bears are going to be a scary team.
They're going to be hopefully good. I don't get my hopes up with them, but like Morty said, like in the Fields position, like if you would just go through like the Madden rosters
on paper,
you know, I play Madden every single year. You look at the overalls across the board, 1-53. We had no guys that were like a 90 overall, you know, like a blue chipper. We had no TJ Watts. We had Roquan Smith and we fucking traded him. All right. So we didn't have any of those guys after he left. Then we go get Montez Sweat and unlock some stuff in our defense. But our offensive line across the board, dog shit. A lot of young guys, Tevin Jenkins, Braxton Jones, guys of that nature. White Hair always had injuries. And then even in the running back room, it's like Khalil Herbert's like our stud. David Montgomery, who like is better as a thunder or lightning. Like he's not a three down back every game kind of guy.
He's a journeyman. And then he's been everywhere.
You have DJ Moore, and DJ Moore was fucking awesome last year. That relationship was good. Like he was a top 10 receiver across all metrics.
That's what kind of threw a wrench in everything. He got hurt in the middle of the year.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a polarizing player. Because, like, I think it could go one of two ways. I think he could be genuinely – I mean, the AFC is so tough because you just have so many fucking quarterbacks in that conference. But, like, I think that he could be at least a top eight quarterback in that conference behind Stroud, Lamar, Herbert, Mahomes,
he's gotta find a new
Allen.
Number. Steelers really? Don't let nobody wear number one.
Why?
It's just a team thing. Nobody's number one.
Huh.
You don't have one of those Pee-wee football coaches.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, nobody's number one.
Yeah, Darnell Washington wasn't able to do the zero either.
I think Pickens was one in college as well.
No, he
like
wasn't.
Kids wear number one on your team, Ralph?
Yeah.
Yeah, the best player.
My best players wear number 9 and 5. They know who they are. All right, well, let's transition over to so the players tournament was this weekend. Caps, you guys did a great job on rent money earlier this week. You know, this is kind of the time of the year where, like, everybody's locked in on college basketball, right? So a little bit less tension paid to golf. But I had just as much fun watching golf this weekend as I did anything else. And the Players' Championship is really fucking fun.
No.
Sawgrass is a great course. Just tell me what were your initial thoughts. Obviously, Scotty came out and won. I can't remember if you guys actually took him on the play. I know
Scotty
you guys like Xander quite a bit to lead after round one. But go ahead.
I did call out Xander after round one. Yep. Exact same thing happened last time that I took him. He tied for the lead. But now the reason that because I was kind of high on Xander going in, and I was texting with a buddy of mine with Hutch actually, who will get on an episode here this week. Hutch was like, he's gonna win. He's a lock. You know, 54 holes later, he's in the lead. And, you know, I look up and he's got like 2-stroke lead, but there was 2 stats that popped out to me as to why he wouldn't. It was his driving accuracy. I believe he was ranked like 120th, 116th or something on tour, which is not going to win you anything when you're at Sawgrass. But then number 2, he was ranked like 136th in putts. And I actually watched Full Swing. I finished it today. Exact same reason why he can't win tournaments is he likes to win more than he hates to lose from a fan's perspective, right? Which you have to hate losing more than you like winning if you want to win consistently at a field of 100-something golfers. But then number 2, like he just couldn't hit putts today. And the back 9, he was missing fairways left and right, constantly having to scramble up and down, putting the ball in the rough next to the green every time because he was in the rough trying to get there. And he just shot himself in the foot every single hole. The only other guy that I think even has a chance right now to go toe-to-toe with the likes of a Scottie Scheffler is Wyndham Clark. The dude almost did it today. I think he has progressed so much over the past year, like from being a U.S. Open champion to actually like starting to ball out consistently, getting a lot of top 5s, top 10s.
He can lock in too.
Dude, if he locks in before Augusta,
that
like,
ball was halfway in the hole.
He had a few other putts early on in the day that were just real bad reads by him, and he didn't really get going until the back. Otherwise, I think he wins that.
Another guy to keep an eye on, though, especially
he doesn't shoot a 64, obviously, course record.
Yeah, but another guy to keep an eye on going into Augusta is Brian Harman. This guy refuses to be put to bed. He doesn't go
short
away.
King.
Short, yep. Short, lefty. Looks like one of the 7 dwarfs, right? He looks like
Dopey short lefty,
from
go
Snow
to bed.
White. He's a redneck. The dude's from Georgia. He bow hunts. Like,
he ate way too
just
much
when
sugar.
You think, yeah, like you never know. But like, holy fuck, this guy, when he's on, like he obviously couldn't get the job done today either, coming in with a second place as well. But him and Wyndham Clark, dude, have been so impressive to me since last season. I feel like those two have stepped up in a major way, kind of answering to some of the stars that left for the Live Tour. They've been playing so consistently. Yes.
They don't live up to the star power for me, though.
No, well, not they don't. Yet. And, you gotta give these guys some time. It's not yet. Right. Like, I think even if those guys would have stayed, the DJs, maybe not with, like, Rom. Like, Rom and Cam Smith are the exceptions because they were pretty much almost getting to the peak. Like, I think they could be where Scotty is right now had they stayed.
Rom was fucking Scotty back in the jam.
I think last year was the year that Scotty started to overtake Rom.
That's why Rom left.
Maybe. Kind of I don't know. Thing.
It's just part of
I blame Kepa, personally, Rom's infant son. But that's just me. Kepa, if you ever get to listen to this pod, you owe me years of fandom for your father that I'll never get back.
No, Kepa. John Rom's Kepa son. Rom.
Yes. He's like 3 years old now.
Yeah, Kep loves to blame infants. Like, if he can ever pin anything on an infant, he takes that opportunity when it's given.
Way too much golf to mispronounce
anytime. Kepa. I was like, anytime Jason Tatum has a bad game, Deuce's fault. I can almost guarantee you it's Deuce's fault.
He was up late the night before.
Yeah, yeah.
Stupid on babies, some bullshit. Dude. You gotta be kidding me, dude. I mean, yeah,
you keeping, have a baby, their, keeping their dad up. Actually put less time into the game.
100%
other shit.
Fucking Deuce.
Well, from like a larger like picture for Scotty, like how much are, because nobody's ever going to be Tiger again, right? I think that's fair. No, golfers are too good possible. Now to catch that, to like ever like prevent somebody from winning however many majors in however many years. But like, what does Scotty need to do to like put him like at the next level of that like pyramid, like to get to like the AP, the Nicklaus? Because like he's 24, 25 years old. He's a young buck. He's still got like 10 great years of golf left.
He's young. I think he's like our age. He's like maybe 25, 26, but he's
125. Crazy.
He looks 35.
Well, he didn't win 25 mil, but he won first out of the
Push was 4.6.
He won 4.5.
Oh yeah,
won 4.5 of them.
And he won another 4.5 last week, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, the players is the thing about golf too, is every single purse is different. The players is the biggest purse of the year. Like it's worth the most money. So that one was nice for him to win. He's pretty much able to, he could literally put all of his winnings from last year in a safe and just put it there.
Just be good for the rest of your life. God, that's cool. So sick.
But, I think the thing about Scotty,
he's kind of there. It's just the putting.
I mean, like he's been putting so well since the Waste Management, I want to say, maybe the week after. Like,
wasn't his neck messed up today too?
Yeah, he tweaked his neck Friday, I believe it was, and he still came out.
Motherfucker just shot a 64. Yeah, he's an absolute dog.
He's the best. I mean, by far. Just watching him hit a drive is like, why can't I do that?
Yeah, but I think there's two things he's got to do. Number one, he's got to be consistent when he plays. He has to like pick and choose. He can't just go out like he used to and just play every week. When he does play, he's got a ball. But more specifically, when it comes to majors, he's got to find a way to be in contention consistently, similar to the Tigers, the Rorys. Like as soon as he starts slipping, I don't really care if he's not a good putter, because there's so many other ways that he's making up strokes gained across the field from like a team green perspective. He's never going to be like a good putter either, is the other thing. Like there's going to be events, there's going to be rounds where he's just putting better than everyone else. And since he switched away from a blade putter, it's been totally different. It's been night and day. Same thing happened with Justin Thomas when he was struggling. Same thing you're seeing happen with Zalatoris. He started to improve a little bit more with the wrist lock putter. But, like, I think the biggest thing for Scotty is...
Sorry, how's your dick putter?
Green jackets.
Green jacket.
A blade or a mallet putter.
Peter putter is great. Peter putter, it does what I needed to do. The thing with the Peter putter is I bought a new putter, but I will drop these nasty 15, 16, 17 foot putts with the dick putter. So I don't know if I should just, I kind of just keep it in my bag at all times.
Secret weapon.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's always, because I golf.
Literally pulls his dick out.
Yeah, I golf like dolo a lot, to be honest. It's pretty sounds pretty sad at first, but it's actually like a beautiful thing.
That's the move. I did a lot of like a missionary. You're like missionary over the ball just playing croquet. Like
yes. Well, dude, I get paired up with these there's this course where I live, and it's like the veterans play for free, so I'll always go out just alone and play with, you know, two or three of these old vets, dude, and it's just
thank you for your service, like, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But there's no one funnier than an old veteran, dude. The shit that comes, there's no rules. Like,
they're all so misogynistic.
Dude, it's insane.
My best friend throughout all of college was a 70-something-year-old guy named Tom. He was a regular at the bar that I worked at all 4 years of college. Dude,
the conversations are priceless.
Two women's faces, the shit that he would say. And they would either laugh or get very upset, calm down, and then laugh, was like, I understand why you have three divorces and your heart isn't working properly. Like, yeah, this is all tracking, you know.
College bar at 80 years old.
Dude, every day he would come in, he would, starting at around 10 a.m., he would have a can of Coors Light and a shot of Jim Beam. And he would sit both, you'd refill him from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. every day, 6 days a week. And then he would go home. He would get a taxi ride home. He would go home and smoke two blunts, eat a Stover's chicken pot pie, and go to bed. And that's what he did every day for the last like 15 years of his life.
He's the happiest. It's just a simple life. It's just little things.
Yeah, when he died, he left all of his money to Cabs.
No, he didn't have any.
Like that Billy Currington song.
He left all of his money in the tip jar at Airliner is where he left all $17 to his name.
He's got he's got a plaque, though, at the spot he sat at every day. So if you're ever at the Airliner, go to the far left side of the bar, look for the plaque dedicated to Tom Essex and all three of his ex-wives.
Beautiful.
Yeah, dude. That's beautiful. They're the best type of people.
If I'm going to Airliner, I'm looking to sit on something else.
What?
Yeah, we took that out. They don't have that. They took that stool out.
Damn it, dude. That's too many people got spot. That's my favorite too spot. Too many people
got, everybody got gonorrhea, like the whole wrestling team did.
God.
All right, back injuries.
You know, it's also we're in the midst of March Madness right now, so to celebrate March Madness, we are doing a draft today, and we are drafting our favorite college basketball players of all time. And these can just be like, you know, the most random dudes that stood out to you in your memory. Because I've been thinking about college basketball a lot recently and like, how do we get it back to the glory days? I think that's a little bit of a diluted product when you consider like how many guys in the NBA draft are like, you know, European dudes. Like my attention is just elsewhere other than college hoops. Like I saw a highlight reel the other day of, and this could be a spoiler for one of our picks, but it was John Wall, Eric Bledsoe, DeMarcus Cousins, Boogie when they're all Kentucky together. And it was like porn. It was like, holy fuck, I missed this era of college hoops. They did not. No, that was a few years later with like the Harrison twins, Anthony Davis, guys like that.
AD is seemingly
good. Yeah. But anyways.
Yeah, Beal was on Florida.
We weren't talking about Bradley Beal. Okay. We were talking about everybody else other than Bradley. No. All right. So we're like,
all right.
And we did bring up Bradley Beal earlier in the chat, so I know what you mean. And he was filthy.
Just got back from grabbing a beer. Yeah, him and Joakim Noah, dude.
Okay, so draft order. I'm randomizing as we speak. Sorry for not doing this earlier. V B C A. All right. Cerrone, you got the first pick. Caps, you have the second pick. I have the third pick. Board, you have back to back picks.
Oh my god. Okay. Can we just get right into this?
We're doing. We'll do three four each. Picks each. Four picks each.
Okay. All right. Give me. Oh, this is. I mean, this is too easy. Give me Jimmer. I don't know how well that's going to go over, but
white guy first pick in a basketball draft. You got to love it,
dude. It's self-explanatory. I mean, talk about the run of all runs. You have this white guy pulling up from anywhere. He literally won. I don't know what seed they were. I don't know where they were. They weren't a good seed when he made the run. But yeah, when you think of March Madness, you think of Jimmer. Just the announcing, the shots, the fucking glory that kid lived for fucking, I don't know, 3 weeks just to kind of, you know, obviously not make it in the NBA. But yeah, give me Jimmer at one. That's perfect.
He was so BYU unbelievable boys. At BYU that the Kings, the Sacramento Kings drafted him with a 7th overall pick. And everybody was like, holy shit. And this is like pre-Steph. This is before like the Stephesance really happened. So everybody was like, he's changing the game. He's Caitlin Clark. He's all of these things. Yeah. And I remember, I don't know if it was E60 or what it was. I think it was just an ESPN profile. The reason that he learned how to shoot from that far away is because his dad would take him to prison growing up to play basketball against grown men. So he's like, I can't go in the paint against convicts who are just like tatted the fuck up and about to just rip me at the rim and elbow me and do whatever they can to.
And this knock over this kid went to BYU.
Yeah. They didn't give a fuck that he was a Mormon kid in prison. They're like, dude, you got to shoot from 32 feet if you want to get a shot up. And he did. And you know what? It paid off.
Confirmed Mormon?
BYU, Mormon boy.
I wonder if he's lost his virginity yet.
That is almost as unbelievable as the Book of John Smith. That bullshit that they believe.
Is Jimmer white
boy learned to play basketball out of prison?
Is Jimmer the polar opposite of Johnny Manziel? Like, are they the spectrum of white athletes in college?
I think that's a great literally point.
Maybe
are they Johnny Manziel or are they Jimmer?
Just polar opposites, two ends of the spectrum.
Neither of them panned out in the NFL or the NBA. That's actually kind of funny, right, too.
Yep.
All right, yeah.
Caps. Too close to the sun.
Yep. Icarus.
Second, I didn't expect a white guy to go first. So in order to, I mean, there's only a small number of white guys that you can go for here. I have to go John Wall, though, is my first off.
Interesting.
The board.
All right. So I didn't know.
Troop 41 put him on. Like John Wall made college basketball more entertaining than watching like a prime LeBron in his rookie era for like a second. There was a blip in the radar where you were like, I would rather watch John and Boogie Cousins play as 18-year-olds. They might have been 15 for all I care. They could have lied about how old they were. I didn't care.
Like, Boogie was not 15.
They were no,
Boogie might have been Boogie. 30.
Yeah,
yeah, Carlos Boozer.
Yeah, but it was like it was just this moment where you had white kids doing this shit, right? In their Nike Elites, in their fucking Hyper Dunks, and everybody was running around with shorts past their knees, and that's an era we'll never get back, right? We're looking at 30 plus years until that shorts past the knees comes back. And they played in the prime of it, and they made college basketball worth watching over a ton of NBA teams. And even when you send John into the NBA, it was just like, all right, this guy's fucked, right? He's on the Wizards, but
pure
what else are you going to do when you're,
he was
yeah,
so
you're trying
sick
to
on
replace
the
Gilbert Arenas? Yeah, it's like, you know, until you start packing a gun in your locker, it's over. So I'm gonna give it to John. He was elite. Favorite college player I've ever watched.
360 layups, behind the back passes, the flashiest fucking point guard. Really the beginning of this Kentucky era where it's like one and done phenoms coming in. He wasn't even the most highly touted prospect of all time, but no. He should have been if you watched his hoop mixtape, because like that's probably the one where, you know, drunk dudes get back from the bar and they're like, what are we gonna put on? Everybody's like first thought is John Wall hoop mixtape in high school.
John Wall,
holy Rams uniform.
To make an album comparison, John Wall is like the 808s and heartbreak of playing the guard position at college basketball in the modern era. He redefined it for everyone.
Redefined
after that. Kemba Walker, not possible without John Wall. John Morant, not possible without John Wall. Like all of these people that you watched come up in over the past decade, none of them exist without having John Wall exist.
That leads perfectly into my pick. I'm going to select Kemba Walker.
Trailblazer.
Just, you know, like an unbelievable performer. Like he was really the kind of guy where you knew that he was going to show up on the biggest stage and happened in that Big East tournament. He averaged like almost 30 points a game in college. That's just unbelievable. I know he was at like 29 points per game. I don't have the exact stats in front of me, but just a filthy scorer, you know, like a 6'1" guard, maybe not like the quickest guy on the court. He wasn't dunking on kids. He was doing pretty much everything below the rim. Just an absolute stud. Just a privilege to watch. And once again, like when we think of this college hoops era, like the swag has something to do with it. Those UConn uniforms back then, like everybody had a pair of UConn shorts, like the Nike Elite ones. Like you weren't cool if you didn't. All right. And
yeah,
some things just
cool.
Added up. And, you know, Jim Calhoun on the sideline, gotta love Jim Calhoun. It just had a really fun era. And obviously the Pittsburgh step back. Turner talked about it last week. That's going to live forever. Cardiac Kemba. And I started practicing that move in my backyard because I'm like, I just want to have a step back like Kemba. And I never did. And that's probably why I'm hosting a podcast at 26 years old. And I'm not playing for the Charlotte Bobcats like he did.
The poor kid has to watch that highlight every year.
Poor kid, dude.
What was it, Pittsburgh they played?
Yeah, Pitt.
Who was the kid?
That was before, like, DeJuan Blair and Sam Young. Or it might have been after DeJuan Blair and Sam Young. But that was a good Pitt team. Bordy, you got back-to-back picks.
Blake Griffin.
That was quick.
Wow. That's all.
He's on my list. You have another pick, dog.
How about that NCAA basketball game, that video game where while you're waiting to play, just in like the loading screen, you just could dunk with Blake Griffin
and Taylor. Taylor was just like there to rebound for you.
Yeah. Who? Taylor?
His brother. How's that? Yeah. His older brother, Taylor Griffin. They played at Oklahoma together.
Even before that, you could just. It was the same thing, but Tyler Hansbrough was the person.
It was Kevin was Love.
Another. Oh, Tyler.
Oh, it was K Love?
Yeah, K Love. UCLA, NCAA K-Love. Basketball 08. Yeah.
Did he go to UCLA?
Mm-hmm. He was fat there, too. Russ,
him and Russ play together, or K Love?
Yep. They play together with Drew Holiday, too.
Damn.
Yeah, stacked roster. Them,
but, Blake Griffin at Oklahoma was an absolute fucking tweaker. Just a white boy with all the good black genetics. Just an insane dunker of the basketball, maybe one of the best ever. I'm going to go with a Greek with my next pick. Possibly the most famous Greek of all time. That's Luka Garza.
Nice.
Oh, Luka Garza.
It's one of my terrible at beer pong. Really? Ass.
So tall and so money in the post, he'd be a fucking buck.
I carried us the one game of beer pong I ever played with him. I carried. He was a super nice guy, though.
Good for you guys. You guys won that, right? So that's good.
Yeah.
There you go. That was just insane. Like, post right. Has a strap for a 3-pointer. Iowa basketball used to mean something. And
it still does. Caitlin Clark's holding it down.
Iowa men's basketball used to mean something.
Peyton Sanford just recorded the first triple double in Iowa basketball history this year.
Iowa men's basketball history.
That's crazy. A guy named Peyton. Yeah. That's a
tough look for Iowa men's basketball. Yeah. Jesus.
Solid player. Yeah, it's crazy. I was talking to my mom about it the other night. You know, I had the YouTube TV multicast going. I had four games. It was like Duke and NC State, Iowa State and Baylor, I think, and then Iowa, Ohio State, and Creighton and Providence. And I'm looking at, you know, you got 10 guys on each court at a time, so I've got 40 guys on the court. And between the eight rotations of five-man lineups, only one lineup had five white guys on the court at once, and that was your Iowa Hawkeyes, boys. And they were playing against Ohio State, and they had four black dudes and one guy who I thought was white, and then the camera panned in on him, and it turned out he's just like an albino black dude. And I was like, fuck, even their white guys are black. I'm like, no wonder we're fucking losing.
How about the whole world finding out Isaiah Hardenstein's black this week?
Is that true? See that?
Yes. They pulled up a picture of his dad, and his dad's name's like fucking Scoot or something sweet. We looks lost like a one. Pimp.
God damn it. Fuck, dude. I loved Hartenstein. He's the man. I mean, I still do. I don't love him because he's black, and I'm figuring that out now, but like, just a hustler. Like, he plays like the whitest dude out there. That's great.
Yeah. That came off really tough from you, Ralph. I mean, we're 17 days past Black History Month, and that's what you're going to hit us with.
You know what? I'll make up for it right here. I'll draft one of the hoodest dudes to ever play college basketball. I'm going to take Michael Beasley from Kansas State.
Oh, he was like on my list.
One of the only freshmen to ever win Big 12 Player of the Year. Second pick in the draft behind Derrick Rose. D. Rose went to the Bulls. Beasley went to the Heat. And, I mean, he was just a walking double-double. It's not like he was 7'2" either. He was 6'8", 6'9", just terrorizing people on the boards. Filthy lefty. Had the mitty. Could just bash on people. He's kind of like Blake Griffin before Blake Griffin in a lot of ways. And didn't have the NBA career that I wanted him to. But another ESPN profile on him. Love SpongeBob. He had a bed that was decked out in SpongeBob sheets, SpongeBob pillow covers. And I just love the idea of the Big 12 Player of the Year just absolutely crashing bitches on SpongeBob. Yeah, like Michael fucking Beasley was just banging
awesome
on a SpongeBob.
SpongeBob actually had Michael Beasley sheets.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Somebody, whoever got quoted on that just got it mixed up.
Dude, Turner's entire personality, like he was a K-State fan since day one. Yep. His entire personality was Michael Beasley, like through all of elementary, middle school.
He loves Michael Beasley, so, and I don't think he'll get drafted, but he also loved Jacob Pullen. And I think that his like bio was, I could get a bucket anywhere on Twitter. And I was like, facts, Jacob Pullen's a hooper. It was something crazy like that. All right. Caps, you're back up.
Yeah, this is a personal favorite of mine, but also shout out to the grassroots of Linmar High School in Iowa for this one. I'm going Marcus Page.
Yep, you know it.
I grew up a Carolina fan back when I gave a shit about basketball. That was my team. I was put on to Jordan as the GOAT very early in my young years.
That baby blue is just too clean.
Carolina blue, dog. Only Carolina school blue. With a color named after it. You never hear Hawkeye black or Hawkeye gold. Here, Carolina just blue,
the perfect color.
Yeah, I think part of it was the allure. Like anytime you get like that lefty that can just drip, it's so fun. But like that team where it was like you had him, like Cam Johnson. Who is the fat fuck all that weight?
They had James Michael McAdoo. Oh, the fat kid. I can't remember off the top of my head. I know you're talking about that.
Dude, the fat kid was such a stud, and he lost a shit ton of weight later. Like, he was like Bacot before Bacot. Like,
I'll pull up.
Please do. But, dude, like, Cam was literally the skinniest person anyone had ever seen, and he kind of started going – he started going crazy towards the end of that tournament run. But, Chris Dunn from – where was he? Providence?
Yep.
Providence, yeah. My hometown.
I remember tweaking a little bit watching that game. I was like, shit, Chris Dunn might be the best player I've ever seen. Dude, he's still got it done. And then that national championship against Villanova where they lost it on Meeks. That buzzer. Like, it was like, yes, Kennedy Meeks, thank you. He was the bane of my existence for a while. But that was such a fun team to watch and cheer for. That was kind of like the last North Carolina team I followed really, really, really closely. And I think the back, like Marcus Page hitting that shot only to turn around and have Villanova hit that game winner to seal off the national championship. Yeah, that was
probably the best basketball game ever.
Ever.
Literally. Like, ever.
To this day, I've yet to watch a better game other than Gonzaga,
Jay Wright,
UCLA a few years ago.
Jazang
that was
Suggs.
A really, really good game. Yeah. Yeah.
No, and he was just like a pure point guard too. Like he could definitely score the ball, had a great stroke, especially for a lefty. Didn't look awkward at all. A lot of lefties, it looks like a little bit clunky, but he was like a pass first facilitator. Roy Williams said he's one of his favorite players he's ever coached. And if Roy Williams is giving you that high of praise, you're good in my book. One of my favorite coaches ever. Cerrone, you got back to back.
Roy, where to go?
Give me, I'm going to go. Yeah. First I'll go. Give me Zion. You know, I just I remember that block that he had that year when he was like at his all time highest. Like it just was unbelievable. The shit that he was doing in game, the dunks, the 360 windmill, the reverse. Like I've never seen someone that big of a physical fucking being jump that high. And then the block I'm talking about when the guys in the
closing
corner
out on
three.
Virginia in the corner at Virginia, he closed out from the block to the corner three. He started at the block. And
he literally blocks it when the ball is fucking at its peak. It's unbelievable. The shit that they just like, I thought he was gonna be the next LeBron. I think we all did. Like no one has just seen someone that fucking big jump that it was unbelievable watching him play. And then give me Lonzo Ball. At UCLA. Give me Lonzo. I just thought it was so much fun to watch him. A team that, like, talk about, like, fell off after him and just is not in the mix at all anymore. And he was a hooper, dude. In college, he was doing, you know, all the around the back, all the fucking playmaking, hitting the threes, hitting crazy floaters. Just like, you want fucking college ball, you just want exciting. You don't even want. You obviously want wins, but you just want the player to make exciting plays to go crazy to root for. You'd like the madness aspect of March. And yeah, Lonzo was fucking, he did it for me. That was a fucking insane watching him play. Yeah, give me Jimmer, Zion, Alonzo. I like that. I like my draft a lot. And one more to cap it off at the end.
Yep. I mean, yeah, Alonzo, like he didn't invent it, but he kind of brought it back. Like the thing about UCLA is, you know, Kevin Love had like the beautiful outlet pass. Lonzo is such a selfless basketball player. The NBA really missed, or not the NBA as a whole, but like the NBA is better off when Lonzo's playing because he just has like this element of his game where he will throw the ball forward 55 feet and just you're in transition the second that he takes the ball out of bounds because like he's just always looking for new opportunities for offense. And I mean, he's a great athlete, but I will say he got fucking punked by De'Aaron Fox in the NCAA tournament. De'Aaron Fox made him his bitch, and then he still got drafted over De'Aaron Fox. And De'Aaron Fox, I think that's been like a mission of his for a long time.
Was Fox on Kentucky, right? Or
yeah,
was Kentucky
with Malik Monk. Yeah. Malik Monk, yep. Bam Adebayo, and Fox all on the same Kentucky team under Calipari. Just fucking filthy.
Yep.
All right. I think I'm back up. Or no, Caps, you're back up.
Back to me. I can't believe nobody said this yet, but give me Kevin Durant out of Texas.
Oh, he was going to be my pick if I didn't take Beasley. Yeah.
Like, I didn't think I would get him after going Marcus Page just as a personal. But, I mean, we're talking about a guy who's averaging almost 26 points a game, 8 boards in 1 year of college basketball. Took home the Wooden. He pretty much led almost every statistical category within all of the Big 12. He was the AP Player of the Year. And did they get bounced in the second round? Yeah. But that wasn't his fault, all right?
Was DJ Augustin on that team with him?
Calm down.
I can't remember. I don't think so. I feel like he wouldn't have had nearly as many touches if he was, you know?
I'm not going to say his name on the pod, but we have a kid who is on our 6th grade B team that loves Kevin Durant.
Already irrelevant.
Plays nothing like him. He's a white, chubby kid. He's adorable. He's actually got a pretty good jumper. But I swear to God, and I'm not lying when I say this, every single practice, he shows up in a different KD jersey. He's got like the Brooklyn alternate one that says Bed-Stuy across it. And one practice, he came in a full KD Texas outfit. He had the burnt orange jersey with burnt orange shorts to match. But he never changes his shoes. His game. He's always got like blue and yellow shoes on.
You
and
so we're not a blue up. And yellow
team. But I'm like, I don't want to say his name, but yo, like you're coming out with a Texas uni right now.
You look KD. Sick,
dude. Yeah. So like, and I'm telling you, like, he's the least athletic kid on that team by a quarter mile. Like, it's insane. Like, he's so slow.
We got that from chubby white kid. Yeah.
Yeah. But he can definitely stroke it quite a bit. But just loves KD.
Also got that from chubby white kid. Yeah.
Yep. You gotta love to see it.
I bet he's super nice to refs.
He doesn't say a word. He doesn't say anything.
Yes.
In this economy, that's so super nice to refs.
And,
yeah.
And I like you know me, that. Like I yell at kids, and every time I do, he just looks at me, and he's just like he just nods with his buck ass teeth. He's such a sweetheart.
You pull him out of the game, you gotta hand him a Fig Newton when he gets back to the bench just so he can keep his blood sugar levels where they need to be. But it's not like too unhealthy. Like you're like, it's a Fig Newton, you're okay.
Yeah, there's figs.
Yeah.
All right.
Electrolytes aren't enough.
I'll take my favorite college basketball player. I was gonna try to do the whole one without taking a Dookie, but I just felt I would feel bad if I didn't take him. Give me Brandon Ingram. Love BI more than anybody.
Bucket.
I mean, the moment I laid eyes on him, I'm like, you know, this is the peak of my stoner era. I'm like, dude, finally a dude that's playing at Duke that's just obviously a chiefer. And he went out there and he never disappointed. He would always give us 18 to 22 points, straight buckets, so lanky. And honestly, to this day, still one of my favorite basketball players in the league. Top three for sure right now, like behind Bron and Kyrie.
You're always on him. You've never not been a dick rider.
I mean, even we were about to do our 2K.
He came out and said he loved midgets. He was like a midget fetish.
Well, we posted that to the page. Like, there's a picture of him and his prom date, and she's like actually like a short person. She's a small person, and they just look so cute.
A midget.
Wearing like, yeah.
I think
we can say midget. I repost. No. Wait. She's actually a midget. Like, she has midget face and everything. Because you know how all the midgets kind of have the same face.
Yeah.
We used to post it on the pod. We would post it on the pod page like once every 3 months. I'll start posting it again because I keep it at all times. But no, I mean, just a stud, dude. Like, I remember there was a picture of him after they got bounced from the bubble. He's just watching like the bubble playoffs from his home completely alone. And he's really skinny, right? But you can tell he's just baked because he has like a coffee table in front of him. And every square inch of that coffee table is covered in Popeyes. He had like enough Popeyes to feed like the entire Pelicans roster, including Zion. And he's just housing a chicken sandwich. And so there's two pictures of it. There's like somebody had to have taken the picture because it's from like 15 feet behind him, just like showing you his view. And then there's another one of just him in a selfie and he's just munching the Popeye sandwich. You know, when the sandwich was like really popular on Twitter and he's just going in on it. So like, there's also a great video of him in a hot dog outfit for Halloween and he's just obviously baked. Like, that's on our Instagram too. Like, he's my favorite character, but he's also one of my favorite players too. Like, crazy mid-range game. Hooper. Like, everybody comped him to KD, but like, he's also sneaky, one of the best passers in the league. I watched an NBA Einstein video the other day. He's a great follow on Twitter. And he had like a 13-minute highlight, or not even highlight, but just compilation of Brandon Ingram passing highlights, and he's always making the right play. So shout out BI. I hope he gets a ring someday, because that's my... And also, one of those guys that I know if I met him, we would click. Like, we would be best friends in an instant. Like, I just have that feeling.
All right. I think you would like him a little more.
That's how I feel about Cerrone.
Yes, dude.
He's your for real.
Can we please do he's a my white whale meetup?
For real. We'll do it. We'll click. Do it. Bordy, we'll
smoke
you gotta...
backwards into Brandon Ingram fashion. All right, we're gonna stick with the cornrows, because cornrows are just kind of a tried and true of college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Sad to not see him as much anymore, because it used to be about... That was the hair everybody was rocking.
Watch. Robert Dillingham was bringing him back.
There we go, Rob Dillingham. I'm going to go Allen Iverson.
Damn.
Oh, I knew he was saying AI. Who did he even play for?
Georgetown.
Georgetown. I don't remember
who he was playing. Oh, that's sick.
Well, yeah, we weren't alive yet. He played like in 96.
I was choosing guys that I actually watched play, but it sounds good, Bordy. I'll take Michael Jordan out of North Carolina next, please. Thanks.
Well, Larry Bird's still on my board, but I figured you guys.
Yeah.
Larry.
No shit for the legend, dog.
Larry was a dog at Indiana State, and those jerseys with the, like, state
every white guy, guy in a fraternity had a Larry Bird Indiana State jersey. And
did we ever get to the bottom
of one of them?
Maybe Cap should know this. Did you see the highlight of Larry Bird's, like, son?
No, or we're like not bringing this up again. That was the dumbest thing we've talked about on the pod in weeks, because you said his name was Jordan Bird. I looked for it for like 15 minutes afterwards, and I couldn't find it anywhere.
Fuck.
And you said you would send me the TikTok, so that's your homework. All right.
I'll find it. Hand up accountability.
Allen Iverson, 40. Yeah, one of the, I don't know, pioneers of like the crossover, like literally changed the game. Okay, Jesus, dude. I'm talking about his basketball skills, and you're talking about him and the bowling alley incident. Crazy 30 for 30.
That's why you like him, huh? You dirty little...
Could have been a running back in the NFL. Amazing soccer player, apparently. Like, just an all-around athlete. Fun fact about him.
Allen Iverson?
Yeah, he was like the closest thing the NBA has ever had to a vampire. He talked about this. He's talked about it so many times.
I love to see him meet Roquan Smith.
So he would play in noon games, right? Like, they would have noon games on Sunday. We had one today. The NBA will have noon games, like, every Sunday. And he would stay out if it was like in New York or something like that, or in Miami. He would stay out when he'd play at noon. He would go out Saturday night and literally stay out until 10:30 a.m., then go straight to the gym, like still like probably a little bit drunk, and then go hoop and drop like 34 on your favorite team.
Fucking awesome, bro. That's like Manziel.
Yeah, except way better.
The better you play. God, that fires me up. That's awesome.
People up drunk as shit.
But Johnny Manziel would do it after games. Allen Iverson was doing this before games. That's what makes him a vampire. It's like he's staying up.
You play a little better shooting off the hip. It's kind of that little dog mentality when you know that you're kind of a little below the weather. Yeah, yeah. You got a little ill edge on your shoulder. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
I mean, my entire intramural career in college, like, I was literally dabbed out for every game, and I was still, put up 4 to 5 threes every game. Just dripping.
Was that my last pick, or do we have
won,
round,
though,
or?
Every time.
You got another one, Bordy.
All right. Last pick. Going to bring this team together. This team needs some team chemistry and a leader real bad. give me Brunson.
Nice.
Because Brunson was one of my favorite college players, and he didn't have a lot of NBA hype just because he's not really like the NBA build. I think he went like in the late teens or maybe even in the 20s. I could be wrong there, but
30s. He was in the second round. Same draft as Luka. Really? Luka was the third pick. He was like the 37th pick.
Yeah, and he was an absolute dog in the ship, I'm pretty sure.
Back to back championships and a Naismith player of the year.
Fucking there you go. I just picked a dog.
He was unbelievable at Villanova.
And that's what kind of blew me. I was like, how does that guy go 37?
Like, I think it's because of like the size and the athleticism and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
NBA, you're looking for prospects, but like,
he's just a pure winner, though.
Proves that he's a dog and is a hooper. Like, it's tried and true.
And now on the Knicks, he's playing with his Villanova teammates. He's got DiVincenzo. He's got Josh Hart. They're always recruiting Mikal Bridges very openly. Sick. Like, it's literally like social media tampering to a T.
Josh Hart's fucking awesome. One of my favorite players.
Dude, they're good. I mean, we haven't been doing as much NBA coverage these last couple of months, but we will obviously once the playoffs start. Like, it'll be every pod will be NBA shit. But I think that they have a legitimate chance to like beat Boston in a 7-game series.
Nice. Yeah. And they got that like chip on their shoulder too. Like that no one, you know, like every year Boston is favorite and they just never fucking.
And they got
in they can never
Deuce's, it's by Deuce's default, fault.
My favorite team.
That little fucker.
Fucking I said this earlier.
Yeah, his dad made it to a conference finals against Braun and lost before Deuce was even born. So maybe you're right, Cap. All right, I can't take another Dookie. I'll mix it up. I'm trying to think. I don't even have one.
Can I throw some honorable mentions out that won't ever get said but need to?
Sure.
I have a couple as well.
All right. First one, Kevin Ware.
Okay, that gives me my pick. Nope, that gives me my pick. My favorite college basketball player. Peyton
Siva.
It's not, but he is a Louisville guy. It's T. Will. Terrence Williams. If I was an NBA GM, I would have taken him with the first overall pick. Like, he was fucking unbelievable. Did not pan out in the NBA whatsoever. I would have been fired for taking him number one overall. But if
you guys don't.
And you know what sucks about it is, like, he played in, like, that range, like, 2009 to 2011. Dude, camera sucked back then. Because I tried to watch Terrence Williams highlights a few months ago, and they're like, the footage is terrible. So I don't know what happened. I thought that's when HD came out, but I guess the highlights don't exist in HD. But he was just tatted up, wore number one at Louisville. Very handsome dude. I definitely had a boy crush on him growing up, and I was like, he's got the prettiest jump shot. He dunks on people. He reminded me a lot of Corey Brewer at Florida, and I was like, this dude is just a fucking hooper. So thank you, Caps. You led me to a pick with a Kevin Ware highlight. So Kevin Ware remembered for the wrong reasons, obviously. But yeah.
Yeah.
He was a good player other than that, though. Like, he was, you know, a starter on a Division I college basketball team. So yeah, I'll take T. Will. And that's a slept on one. Real hoopers will know. T. Will's a good pick. All right, Capsh and then Cerrone to close it out.
Another honorable mention is I wanted to take him as a pick, but with how good the board is, I can't. Ali Farouk-Manesh, nice. The shooting guard out of Northern Iowa, helping take down Kansas, the number one seed. That was a Cinderella story for the ages. This dude's still in. Like, I'm pretty sure he's a coach at Nebraska right now, if I'm not mistaken. So he's getting ready.
He sells car insurance.
Well, yeah, you can do that too. What do you think this is? 2008?
Policy. Yeah. Boardy, great policy.
Great government. I forgot being a high school coach is in a full-time gig.
Yeah.
So at least that's what my mom keeps telling me.
His name was said earlier. I actually won't say it because I bet you $1 million that that's Cerrone's guy.
Eric Diebendorf, Johnny Flynn.
No,
is that a Memphis?
Juwan Blair?
No, you're going to take D-Rose. I was going to say Tyler Hands, bro.
Nice.
The fact that he's not wasn't on he already this taken? List is honestly, no, he wasn't.
We talked.
He was just mentioned. Honestly, probably should be my pick here. You know what?
If you I will say make his my name pick. One more I'll time, go. He's going to show up like Beetlejuice.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we're going to go, I'll go to North Carolina, guys. The other guy I was going to say, as far as honorable mentions go, Joakim Noah, the video of him crying and hugging his mom after winning the national championship at Florida was
two in a row.
So cute. Adorable. My mom made me watch it. as if I was going to amount to anything in athletics, any form of athletics.
I think she just wanted to be a lover, man.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, Mom, I love you.
Hug.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, look, I get you're Italian and that you have to be the most important thing in my life for the rest of my life. And you exactly. always will be. Don't get me wrong. But I'm a man now. I'm 13 years old, Mom. And, you gotta let me,
this is my house.
Yeah. I was like, Mom, you gotta let me wear my cargo shorts.
I'm going to take 30 cargo shorts.
Yeah. I was like, Mom, I'm going to listen to Air and Shitty Bang. And there's not shit you can do about it. All right. I'm going to wear this Mod Sun hoodie my sophomore year of high school because I saw Mac Miller do it on Mosto.
Yeah, Mom, I'm 2 years away from drinking UV Blue. Like, it's time to like let me go, dog.
Yeah, Mom, I'm going to Phil's house later and I'm going to throw up in his jacuzzi.
Wow, I would love to yak in Phil's jacuzzi.
Did Phil have a jacuzzi? I don't remember.
Oh yeah, jacuzzi. It was hidden.
It was on the VIP level.
Yeah, you had to know somebody to know somebody.
I lived there for like 2 months.
They had a whole room.
It was the indoor jacuzzi. I saw some shit.
You would have hotboxed it.
Go down there.
You would have hotboxed it.
Let's not relive high school jacuzzi story.
Yeah. Tyler Hansborough, yeah. Psycho T.
Yeah.
Elbowed in the face, bloody nose from Gerald Henderson. Maybe the most like demonic anybody's ever looked on a basketball court is the look that he got after he got that bloody nose. And then he played with the mask for the longest time. You know, wore number 50. And he was dominant, dude. Like he was, you know, double-double every single night. And had a pretty good NBA career. Played for the Pacers for like 8 or 9 years. And
he was solid.
Why don't the big whites translate to the NBA? Are they just too slow on pick and roll?
I was going to ask that before.
He's too slow. He's a fucking cone on defense.
Too slow, yeah.
He's a cone.
Like he could put up 40 any given night, but yeah. But like
different breed out there in the
I
NBA.
Like there's a lot of I feel like there's a lot of centers that aren't that great on defense, but I don't know. I'm not a coach by any means. So
and I will say like Hansbrough doesn't exist without Ty Law. Like
Ty Lawson.
If Ty Lawson isn't there, like literally the epitome of what a great point guard looks like between both offense and defense as a two-way player. Yeah.
Put it in the center's gut.
And that's why I said Peyton Siva earlier, because Peyton Siva was one of those guys at Louisville where I was like, that's what a point guard should be. Like, he's chippy, plays with, like, that little chip on his shoulder, but both sides of the ball, he's on it. He's on you. He's a great ball handler.
But I remember my first experience with Peyton Siva, me and Petey were watching the big McDonald's All-Star All-American game, and he did a 360 layup. Okay. And I was like, this guy rules, dude. I'm like, he's going to Louisville.
Tommy
I can't
Wanick
wait to watch
did
him.
That in sixth grade, and I was like,
Tommy
damn.
Wanick. I weirdly know that kid, too. He knocked for like 2 weeks and then just quit. Shout out Tommy Wanick.
He's married. I was at his wedding in February,
Wow.
High school reunion continues. All right, Cerrone, you got the last pick. We love Tommy.
All right. I was going to, you know, since we're on the honorable mentions, I was going to go D-Rose Memphis. I'm not. I was going to go Trae Young. But I will go. This was like 2003. It must have been like 2003, 2004.
I can tell you
the exact
year.
This is like the perfect age where like we still think we're going to be pro. And give me young man Carmelo Anthony out of Syracuse.
03.
Just, I remember him watching him play just – dude, with the headband, just so swaggy, so good, just fucking can do everything. I feel like a lot of people forget about Melo because he kind of gets – I mean, I don't know. It's just been – he had his day. It's over.
He was
but in
maybe
college,
the GOAT of college basketball, yeah.
Yeah, dude, fucking unbelievable. I thought of him, and I can't believe he didn't get picked. But, yeah, give me Melo out of Syracuse. Another, like, school that, like – I don't know who else Syracuse just be dominant.
Who was that dude?
He's so fucking good.
Like 5 years ago with the headband, and he had like a really cool name.
Did Marcus Smart? No, like Marcus Smart was.
Marcus Smart was Oklahoma State. Johnny Flynn was a headband guy, Bordy. I'm not sure who you're thinking of off the top of my head.
Cooler name. That's not a cool name.
Like Wesley Johnson?
I think I might. Syracuse. I don't know what happened to them, but they just fell off. It's crazy.
Well, Boeheim retired, but yeah, Melo. And towards the end of Boeheim's career, they started a dip. But Melo is one of the only freshmen to actually win the national championship as the best player. Like, he's from Baltimore.
Yeah.
He goes to Syracuse. They won the title that year. And then he goes to the Nuggets. He's the second pick in the draft behind LeBron James. And had honestly just as good of a rookie year, maybe even a little bit better than LeBron as a rookie. He averaged like 23 points a game as a fucking rookie, which is insane, especially in that era when like teams were scoring 95 points a game. He's scoring a quarter of his team's
blue
points.
Powder blue Nuggets jersey.
So tough.
Yeah, Melo is fucking, just go down as a goat. But yeah, Melo.
His son, if you want to feel old, his son, Keon, might be going to Syracuse this next. He would be there in 2 years.
Oh, I love that. I love that out of him. That's pretty nice. Bring the program, Brad. Come on now. Come on, Keon. Get it going.
Cerrone's a big, big nepotism guy. You should be an Iowa football fan.
I tell people I'm from Des Moines. I went to Dowling 4 years. I'm sure you guys know all my friends, Ralph, Catch, fucking. I literally know like hundreds of you guys. It's unbelievable.
Honorary State champs.
I cannot wait to go to Iowa. And just,
he's Italian. He's Catholic.
Fresh air, of what goes down there. Get some pork and right, pizza.
Nice chicken.
Uncle Louie's farm.
Cerrone, you got Jimmer Fredette, Zion Williamson, Lonzo Ball, and Carmelo Anthony. I mean, those four could play together, dude. That's a pretty solid group right there.
Goated. I'm pretty proud of it. That was my best draft. Caps brings it out of me. Brings the best out of me.
Caps, I do that to people.
John Wall, Marcus Page, Kevin Durant, and Tyler Hansborough.
That's a dirty
little squad, too.
Yeah, that's an eclectic draft. A squad.
You got like the whitest black kid ever, Marcus Page, Linmar, Iowa. You got KD, who's from the DMV. You got Psycho T, who's the whitest white guy ever, but also just like, white furiosity. And then you also got John Wall.
That's what I'm saying, is like scary white. Thug.
Yeah.
I almost said Ben Hansborough. Shout out to Notre Dame.
Shut up, Ben.
Well, I can't go all guards.
The Syracuse guy I was thinking of, his name was Fab Melo.
Oh, Fab Melo. He died.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was Brazilian.
I can't believe nobody took Steph or Ja Morant.
I was going to take,
I didn't watch enough Ja in college. I only watched him in the tournament. I mean, Steph was the same way.
That's when everyone watched him. That's the only, when would you have ever been able to watch them other than
I knew about him. So I take that back. I'd watched one regular season game, but then whenever draft season comes up, that's when I just crush college basketball tape. I will literally watch not even just highlights of their season, but I'll watch full games of them just to see how they'll exist on an NBA court. It's psychotic. I get it. But Ja was
Murray State. Was Ja Murray State?
Yep.
I was going to say, Ralph, I also am partially autistic. It's hereditary. So it's fun. Get you. I feel you on that. Yeah, dude. It's
speaking of partially autistic, Bordy. You got Blake Griffin, Luka Garza, Allen Iverson, and Jalen Brunson.
That's sick.
That's a good group of guys.
And
light skins are under for Bordy.
Yeah, we should have just done five, so we had a starting five. I didn't even think of that. That's bad on my part. All right, I had Kemba Walker, Michael Beasley, Brandon Ingram, and Terrence Williams. I'm pretty happy with that. No Kyrie. He only played 11 games, so Kyrie was a tough one. But I mean, I can do Williams. Jahlil Okafor,
Willie Cauley Stein,
Chris Douglas Roberts. If we're doing the hyphen names, I mean, I can keep going.
You want me to say too?
Fuck Perry Ellis, dog. Cole Eldridge, Sharon Collins, the Morris Twins.
Remember Rip Hamilton at UConn?
Timmy.
Yeah.
D Wade.
So you're drafting at 36. You're taking guys that when we were 5 or 6.
Who did D Wade? Yeah, I remember
Marquette.
D Wade was at Marquette.
That's what it was. Okay,
Marquette's the same as Wesley Matthews, Jay Crowder, Vander Blue.
Oh, Crowder. They got some
hoopers
sick
out of Marquette.
Also, though, Tyler Cole, Anthony Edwards at Georgia.
Oh my God! Don't get me started.
There's a few.
Don't get me started.
Fred Van Fleet at Wichita State.
State. Lee Anthony Early. All right, now we're just dudes naming
remember
college
fucking
basketball players.
Mario Chalmers? Because he beat who did
Kansas.
He play for? Because they beat D Rose.
Yep.
Yeah, he was filthy, dude.
All right, time to wrap it up. Thank you guys for listening.
What about Denzel Valentine? Last one,
Michigan State. Good one. He was sick. He was a triple double. Draymond.
Everybody knew him.
Draymond.
All right, thank you guys for listening. We love you. Everybody enjoy the college basketball this week. Box Out Boys are dropping tomorrow to break down the bracket. Oh. I don't know. They've just kind of been freestyling recently, so they might not even talk about college basketball. They might just talk about like their net worths or something weird. But everybody enjoy the college basketball this week. We'll be back later this week. We'll be breaking down the round of 64 games. It'll be a blast. So we'll be back Thursday.
I love just roasting the other pods at the end of the pod. That's just what all of them are.
I forgot to
put them up. I'd love to hear their net worth.
At the end, just hey, talk.
Rent Money Boys coming back this week. We're doing a breakdown of Full Swing as well as a breakdown of the players and a look ahead. We're about a month out now, maybe even less than kickoff for the Masters, baby. It's the greatest sporting event known to mankind. Get excited.
Good job. Good self-promo by you. All right. We love you guys. We will see you on the other side. Peace out.